Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a football game. Good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. John, Victory Friday. How's that sound to you?
Oh my goodness, what an unbelievable game. And I mean, expectations, hopes, dreams, I don't care what terms you use, because those are the ones that we talked about the last couple of days. Do you expect to win? Do you hope to win? Are you dreaming it's a win? And they all came up, yes.
Ali McNeil went down in that game. So the defense that was already depleted was a phone call away from you playing. And they won the game anyway. And that's what we talked about. They had to be led by their offense.
Yeah.
4 of 5 on fourth down. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about those fourth down decisions today. But Campbell said, I got to win with my offense. And he, to his credit, stuck to him. Those are 1 yard, 2 yard. You've got this offense. You're going to go for it. You're going to win the game. And John, they've won a lot of games. They've won 12 games, 11 in a row. And they've clinched a playoff spot 3 weeks before Christmas. I mean, it's unbelievable what this football team is able to do. Shorthanded, big spot, tough opponent, find a way to win.
Back-to-back 12-win seasons. And I think the biggest thing is we all know what this means for not just the division. You've eliminated the Packers from the division race. Now it is solely focused on the Minnesota Vikings. And if it comes down to it, you get them the last game of the year.
Bring it on.
I agree. It's in Ford Field last night, and I want to hear from Heather because it looked on TV like it was unbelievable. So Colin finally talked you into it, eh?
Well, yeah. I mean, I told you at the end of the show, he texted me and was like, dude, I'm fired up again. We got to go. So we worked out a babysitter. Grandma came through, got tickets. It was kind of like...
Grandma might be the MVP.
Magical? Like, it was a freaking awesome game. It was so much fun.
I'm so excited to hear more about it because it looked like it on TV.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Grandma.
But obviously everything didn't go right for the Lions.
Now Goff threw a pick. They didn't get one of the fourth downs in their own territory.
Yeah, but how about Tim Patrick?
Yeah.
The old guy.
You know what we're calling him? Timmy P.
Timmy P.
Timmy P.
Timmy P.
Out of nowhere.
What about T-Pain?
T-Pain?
It's already taken.
Yeah.
That's all.
He hadn't caught a touchdown since 2021. He caught two.
I know.
In the biggest game of the season to date. I told Timmy P. Sure.
Yeah. It was so much fun to watch. And I kind of went through the same angst that you just mentioned, right? Ali McNeil goes down. And I was at a Ruby's basketball game watching it trying to keep score at the same time. And then after the game, we're watching it on somebody's phone, and Ali McNeil was walking off the field. I thought, oh my goodness, how is this possible? How is it possible? And then they said head injury, and I thought, oh no. I mean, protocol. Apparently, it's not concussion related. It is some other type of head injury. I don't know if it's a wound, a cut. I don't know. But at least we know it's not, he's not in the protocol, so it's there could be some more definitive results from other tests or result, you know, whatever, to get him back on the field for the Bills. That's a problem or a discussion in 10 days or over the next 10 days. The defense, I thought this was under 100 yards rushing. I know it was three rushing touchdowns for Jacobs, but I thought the defense stood up and did everything they had to do with, I mean, we go from whatever we were calling the defense before to now it's no-name defense. We're talking about guys that you didn't even know were on the roster. Yesterday, I said a couple of names. You're like, huh? Wait a second.
I thought you were testing me. Like, could I slip a name in there that's not a real person?
It's unbelievable.
But Pat Madris starting at defensive tackle.
Exactly.
Right.
Ryan Vallade is going to make a key tackle late in the game. No, it was Zeke Turner.
Right.
Like, who? Zeke Turner. Pat O'Connor. People know about him because he's Eastern Michigan guy, and he played really well in the interior. But Pat O'Connor is not he shouldn't be on a two deep for a playoff team, but there he is making plays for this team. And it's the next man up mentality on steroids last night. I don't think the defense was anything special, but they got a key stop in the red zone late. And John, you got to have someone pick you up. If you don't have your best on defense and you're just doing enough, you're going to need the offense to lead the way. And they did. Late in that game, time and time again. Like, I thought the Packers' first touchdown drive was kind of a whoa moment. It was a 12-play drive, 7 minutes, 10 of the 12 plays were on the ground. They score a touchdown, it makes it 10-7. You go, okay, we're going to see what they're made of. You know what Detroit did? They marched right down the field and scored right before the half. So, like, they consistently rallied. Even when Goff threw that interception, his very next drive, march him down the field and into the end zone, the Lions go. Ball at the end of the game, it's tied. You got to go win it. And they did. And it's everything we had talked about. You got to win different ways. Some weeks they've won with defense. Some weeks they've won with special teams. Some weeks you got to win with the number one offense in football. And John, that's what won them the game last night, was this offense. And for anybody who wants to go, I didn't like some of Dan Campbell's decisions, you don't win the game unless he does all of them.
Right.
Right. Two touchdowns were fourth down calls in the red zone. We're talking inside of 3 yards. You're playing to win the football game. He's not playing to put his defense out there. He's playing to win with his offense. And the fourth down at his own 31. I think that was the first game, the first play of the game where people might have gone, oh no.
Yeah,
is Dan going too far? John, it's a yard. Maybe you don't like the play call going outside, but they showed everybody was mugged up around the centers and the guards. There was nowhere to QB sneak it, so they decided to attack the edges. They got swarmed. They lose the conversion.
Yeah.
But at the end of the game, the other fourth down, where he could just kick the field goal 40 seconds to go, and he's like, I'm not leaving Jordan Love a chance to beat me.
Right.
I'm winning the game. It's inches. I got David Montgomery. I'm winning the football game. I'm not playing to give them a chance.
And if you were listening to the broadcast at that time, it was Kirk Herbstreit doing, he was old school mindset, right? Not Dan Campbell's, you know, Dan Gamble, whatever you want to call him, go for it on fourth down every single time, fourth and short. It was, you know, they call the timeout and, well, they're obviously going to kick it. And he went from they're obviously going to kick it to the offense stays on the field, and it was, oh, they're going to try and draw them off sides. They'll let the clock drain down. They'll try and draw them off sides. If not, they'll call timeout and kick it. Like, that was the old school mentality. And then they snap the ball, and Glasgow steps on Goff's foot, and he is going down. Reaches the ball out to David Montgomery. And I think the key block, we could talk about the, obviously you're going to run it behind Penny, so everybody in the world knows where that ball is going.
Yeah.
But it was Sam Laporta coming in motion to give him the best angle to get inside, because you had, you know, Zeitler and Penny Sewell double team in the three technique. But I thought it was great play setup to give Sam Laporta the best available angle. And he's got to know at the time to slow down when he gets to that spot so that Jared Goff can snap it at the right moment and get inside that outside linebacker. I thought it was drawn up perfect. It was called perfect. It was executed perfectly. But the block of the day was actually Sam Laporta on that play.
It's a huge play in the game. Right? I mean, it cements the game.
Yeah.
And listen, you guys know I'll call it Dan Campbell decision aggressive when it warrants it. I don't think any of those were reckless decisions that he made yesterday. I didn't think they were reckless. You may have thought they were reckless out there in listener land. I don't think they were reckless. They were all fourth and one, fourth and inches, fourth and two. We're talking the stakes.
Yeah.
It's touchdowns. It's game ending. It's going for it. And the backdrop of it all is you don't have your defense. You are on fumes on defense. You don't want to give them a chance to beat you with your defense on the field. Now, if it's fourth and seven, reckless. Right. If you've got an elite defense and it's fourth and 10 and you're just, you know, I'm doing it to do it because reasons, that's reckless. I don't think the decisions he made yesterday were reckless.
No. And we talk about lessons learned. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about a lesson that was learned not by the players, but by Dan Campbell. Why to go for it on all of those fourth downs.
Hell of a tease. It's next, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think you should as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, as they did me, and ask you as many questions as it takes to find out as much as they can about your situation, your family, your kids, your life, your goals, so that they can build a financial plan that is unique to you and everything that you need. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Little Texas route. Lions get the big touchdown early. Tigers are on my mind because these ticket texters are comparing the defense to the Tigers. Bunch of no-names finding a way. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We are in on a Victory Friday following primetime win against the Green Bay Packers. And we've got open lines, 248-539-9797. John, that was a fourth down touchdown you just heard from Dan Miller. The fourth down decisions. Campbell made five of them. They converted four of them. Not all of them people agreed with. But you think he learned a lesson.
Oh, I do. And it's about no regrets. Having absolutely no regrets, knowing exactly what team you have on the field and what's on the sideline, what you're going to be doing during the game. And let's go back to the NFC Championship game. And what did we say yesterday? This was going to be a defense that was going to be very similar to the one that we saw at the end of the year because of the injuries. You're down 12 guys, down 13 at one point because Aleem McNeil is no longer in the game, nine starters. And it was going to be one that wasn't the same quality that you started the season with. Now, they played good. But you also, he knows exactly what he has on defense. So some of those decisions are guided by that. It's also the lessons that whether it's the team has learned since Dan Campbell has been here or he has learned himself. So NFC Championship game, scores 21-7. They get the ball and they march down 17 plays, 68 yards for a length of 4 minutes and 52 seconds. Just before halftime,
Huge. They're
up 21-7. All convention says, hey, you get the ball down inside the red zone. It's inside the 10-yard line. It's first and goal from the 7, 28 seconds. You don't gain any yards. Second and goal from the 7. You gain 1 yard. All right, timeout. Then it's third and goal from the 6. All right, and you pick up 3. Now you call a timeout. It's 4th and 3. They're debating, should we kick it? Should we go for it? They end up kicking it. And I didn't think it at the time. Gov was all over it. At the end of the game, he said, I think this is a decision that Dan Campbell will regret. Not going for the touchdown on 4th and goal at the 3-yard line
in the NFC title
game. And it comes back that, they end up losing the game. And things could have gone a lot of different ways. But I think he learned from that decision, hey, I don't want to have any more regrets. We get into a game that may decide the division, may be a deciding factor in getting the one seed and playing that NFC Championship game at home. I'm going to go for it. He was in that situation 5 times, went for it 5 times, and only came up short once. That, to me, is a coach that is coaching to his strengths, to what he believes in, and doesn't want to make a decision that at the end of the game, he looks back and says, well, if I had just gone for it. Well, he did, and he was successful, and they won.
So I thought last year after that, and I didn't come to really that conclusion until a couple days after. I think we all had to clear our minds a little bit, but I was thinking about the game and I was thinking about him. And I can't remember what it is now. You kind of hit me off guard bringing this up today.
Yeah.
But there was something from the 2022 season that he had a major regret about, and I couldn't remember what it was. So I was kind of
thinking, was it the Minnesota game? It was his biggest regret of his career?
Yes. And I thought, well, okay, he said that he owned it. He's always owned everything. And that last year he did, I kind of just felt like, man, what was the kneecap choice in that game?
Yeah.
He's going to put up with Jahmyr Gibbs fumbling. He's going to put up with a fluky bounce. He can't control that. But what can he control? See, that's what he does as a head coach. He seizes control of a situation. And I thought, in hindsight, the Dan Campbell decision in that game last year was to go for the kill.
The Dan Campbell decision is, if we're going to lose, it's going to be because of me. Not in spite of me, or not because I made a decision that went against everything I believe in, and I fell back on old school traditional football thinking, take the points. It was, hey, moving forward, I want to give my team every advantage going into it. And you could tell from the way the guys were talking that in the pregame speech, it was, hey, we get fourth down, we're going for it.
Tim Patrick confirmed that on the field after the game. Timmy P. Or as some ticket texters are calling him Patrick.
Yeah.
He is him. Two touchdowns. But John, you're right. I actually think this is a great observation. That decision at the end of the half last night is the opposite of what he did in the NFC title game. And I'm sure it played a role in making sure that he gives his team the best chance to win. Their best chance to win was with the offense on the field. It was to score touchdowns instead of field goals. They did it from the start to the finish of that football game. And John, to the point, they didn't punt in the second half. Jack Fox was in the suite. He was serving hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Like, they did not punt in that second half. They knew, hey, shootout's on, our only way to win. And it's a yard, it's two, it's three, it's not fourth and 10, it's not fourth and 12. He didn't do something crazy on tilt. These were sound decisions. And I think most coaches don't make them, so we think they're like crazy.
Right.
More coaches should be going for it on fourth and one and fourth and two. Go win the game. Don't leave the back door open for a quarterback to come storming down the field against your dilapidated defense. Win it right now. And it was nerve-wracking. No one's denying that. Exactly. No one's denying that it was nerve-wracking.
But never leave the back door open.
But that's what he's paid to do, is to make those big, bold decisions. And he put the nuts on the table. That's what he did.
He did.
We got to get our picks in before the hour's over. Tom, you got a point?
Just quick, you said he put the nuts on the table.
Yeah.
Jared Goff referenced it. We'll have to play that cut later in the show today.
Yeah. Buddy.
Oh, Jared Goff talked about that?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't say nuts. He said stones.
Yeah, stones. Yeah. All right. Yeah. There's a lot of references for...
Sure. Get to Heather in the news.
Yep. So the search continues for the gunman who fatally shot United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. And investigators are saying that the suspect traveled by a Greyhound bus to New York before the shooting. And they're also saying that he used a fake New Jersey driver's license to check into this Upper West Side hostel where he was staying. So he paid in cash when he was there. The thing was, is that he had a little flirtatious moment with the clerk there at the hostel where he took down his face mask. So now there is some smiling photos of him where you can see his entire face, and they are circulating online. Obviously, they're hoping somebody's going to recognize this guy first off, right? But they also say they're tracking the suspect using a trail of surveillance videos and also a burner phone and a water bottle that they believe was dropped by the suspect. And police have lifted one fingerprint from the water bottle, but they say that it was smudged so that it's not really like conclusive.
Definitive, yeah.
But they're hoping that maybe he drank out of it and they can get some DNA.
Create a profile.
Man, but they're just saying this was very, very well planned, but not well orchestrated, because this guy did leave behind key pieces.
Crumbs.
Yeah, like they should never have been, you know, if you're really planning this out, never drop your burner phone. You don't leave behind a water bottle, things like that. But they're saying, like, he basically just wanted to be a ghost. Got away from there, got on his bike to Central Park, where he probably changed his clothes, and then just wants to, like,
blend in.
Yeah, disappear. Now that the winter weather is here and it's officially arrived, you need to be aware of how close you are getting behind snowplows and salt trucks when you're on the road. So there is a new Michigan law. It was passed over the summer, and drivers must stay 200 feet behind a snowplow when it's driving. So that distance, if you can't imagine it when you're on the road, is about 13 to 16 car lengths. So it's a big distance. You need to stay behind them. And when the plow is stopped, like at an intersection, drivers can be no closer than 20 feet from that truck. And if you do get too close, you could be fined up to $100. So something to pay attention to. Plus, snow plows are also included in the Michigan move over law. So you know how you got to slow down, yes, and move over if you see police or EMS, fire trucks. You need to do the same thing if you see a snow plow or a salt truck on the road.
It all makes sense. I feel like nobody stays far away from these snowplows. That first one, I feel like I never see cars maintaining that level of distance with a snowplow.
They don't, which is why this is brand new. Yeah. I mean, it just went into effect over the summer. So we haven't had.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So this is new.
Yes.
No one's had to do this yet, but they say, because it's dangerous to get that close and there's been incidents and accidents, you need to give these people room to do their job. Yes. On Thursday, the Michigan Senate approved a bill that would extend the maximum length of time people can receive unemployment insurance benefits by 6 weeks and increase the cap on payouts, which was set more than 20 years ago. So the main sponsor of this unemployment bill says that Michigan is the lowest in the Great Lakes region for unemployment benefits and the only one that is at 20 weeks. So now, under this bill, the maximum amount of time somebody can receive unemployment benefits would go from 20 weeks to 26 weeks, and the bill would increase the weekly cap on benefits from $362 to $614 over a three-week period.
All right.
Yep. So there you have it. If you're receiving unemployment benefits,
I was gonna say, if you're in a tough spot,
this is for you. Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel signed a 5-year contract extension that takes him through 2030. So he has been the athletic director since January of 2016, and this will be the second extension of his contract. And he is making $1.1 million annually and is eligible for up to $150,000 in incentives, with the university contributing $350,000 annually to a retirement plan.
There you have it. Heather with the news coming up next. The Friday picks. We'll take Lions phone calls all morning long, but let's get some picks out of the way. It's next, 97.1. Friday edition, look ahead edition, championship weekend in college football, and some big NFL matchups in the NFC North. Greg, tee it up.
All right, one of the best weekends of the year will start in a de facto opening round CFP game, Big 12 title game in Arlington, Arizona State, favored by 2.5 points against Iowa State. Jim,
I am not picking Matt Campbell in a big game. Will not do it. I think you can run on this Iowa State team. Scataboo, give me Arizona State.
I am going to pick Matt Campbell in a big game. And he has played in this game, coached in this game, not played in it. A little experience, I think, helps in that situation. These conference championship games can get very strange. And I like weather. I'm going to go with the Cyclones.
Okay. I like weather.
Yeah, I like weather. I'll go with the Cyclones as well. I am going to talk about Matt Campbell. I mean, we are approaching the Matt Campbell coaching search season. And this is just another reason why, when he wins this game, he's going to be top of the list for whether it's the Bears, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's so many different coaching jobs that he will be in the running for, and it all starts with a win on Saturday.
You know, I kind of like weather too, Tom. That's not my reason I was going to pick Iowa State, but I do like that they're the Cyclones. And my nickname used to be Hurricane Heather, so it kind of combines. And
can see that.
What? It's because whenever I walk into a room, I create a huge mess and then I just leave. That's where it comes from. Also, there's a song that I start singing.
Rocky what is like it? A hurricane?
No, Cyclone.
Oh, okay.
By Baby Bash. So let's go.
Can we get a little piece of it?
No.
Oh, come on.
You cannot.
Can't offer that and not get some.
All right, John, I'm with you. Let's kickstart the Matt Campbell NFL coaching rumors. Cyclones.
Am I on an island with Arizona State?
You are.
With
the devil. Let's go to the ATL, Texas. is a 2.5-point favorite taking on Georgia for the SEC championship. Gov.
All right, one of my sneaky bucket list items in my life is I just want to go to an SEC championship game. I think the environment, late afternoon, Saturday, first Saturday December, it's just one of those awesome environments in sports. And Georgia is playing there for I don't know how many times now, but they've got the experience. It's in Atlanta. I don't care that Texas beat them twice. I'm going dogs.
You know what? When I look at Texas and I look at the only mark on their record, it's a loss to Georgia. And it is one that sticks out. It's one that, hey, they want a chance to redo. They're going to get that chance to redo. And I don't care if it's in Atlanta. I don't care where this is. I think Texas is the more consistent team. And I think that they're going to come out there and just boat race the Bulldogs. Give me Texas.
I'm also going with Texas. Going to stick with the Longhorns. Yeah. No particular reason.
I did hear that Bevo will not be welcome in Atlanta.
Is Uga going to make the game this time? He didn't in Texas.
Right.
Does he want any of that Bevo smoke?
That's right.
Why is Texas favored after losing by 2 scores in the first matchup? Vegas is incentivizing you to take Georgia. No, you don't. Texas.
Yes.
Costa.
Give me Texas. I'm with you.
Oh.
I can't
Georgia
trust
Georgia Island.
The dogs are the dog in Atlanta on an island. I'm getting my first island win this year.
I just can't trust them. Carson Beck has been erratic. Turnovers. They haven't run it consistently this year. This is not a vintage Georgia defense, and I do think Texas gets their revenge.
Gov, just with the kiss of death of his own pick.
Yeah. Right.
ACC title game in Charlotte. SMU favored by 2.5 points over the Clemson Tigers. John.
I look at some of the losses that Clemson had. The one that sticks out to me the most is that loss to Louisville. That one I can't make sense of. But losing to Georgia at the beginning of the season, kudos to both of those teams for scheduling that game. And then, you know, it was a tough loss against South Carolina. I think Clemson is, along with Oregon, one of the more improved teams that we've seen from week one to where we are now. I think Clemson finds a way to get the job done against SMU.
Heather.
I've never heard of SMU, so I'm going with Clemson.
That's fair enough.
They got the death penalty.
Yeah, they were killed at one point.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
If you were to come to my house, you would hear my son playing with his toy horses, making horse noises. So I'm going to go with him, and I'm going to take the Mustangs. Yee!
Whatever that was, the opposite of that. Give me Clemson.
Yeah.
I'm going Clemson as well here. This game's virtually impossible to pick because I still don't know if I trust SMU. But, you know, I can just sort of see this come Monday morning. Dabo somehow got the Tigers back to the playoff.
Well, and this, if Clemson wins, that's really the one thing that stirs things up in the college football playoffs. So I want chaos.
Chaos. Big Ten title game in Indianapolis. Number one, Oregon, favored by 3.5 points over number three, the Pennsylvania State University. Heather.
Well, I'm going to choose Oregon.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Yeah, quack, quack. Okay.
Penn State has a problem with Ohio State and Michigan. Those helmets aren't on the other side this time. The mental block is gone. Give me Penn State.
Oh, you're going with the Fighting James Franklins? Really? Wow.
We are a disappointment in every big game we ever play. There is no way I would take Big Game James. Yeah. Give me the Ducks.
I'm going Nittany Lions here. I think Oregon's been playing with fire a little bit late in the season, and Penn State's got a good defense.
Oregon is the most patient team I think I've seen in at least a decade in regards to, it's just that slow water drip until you just can't take it anymore. They're willing to take the short pass. Dylan Gabriel is the patient quarterback. Dan Lanning has been patient with his team. I've talked about it all season, every single week. I mean, they start off with Idaho and nearly lose that game in week one. And now here they are, the Big Ten championship game, the number one team in the country. There's no way they lose this game. Give me Oregon.
All right, to the NFL. Falcons travel to the Vikings. Vikings favored by 5.5. It's the Kirk Cousins reunion with his old team. I'll take Captain Kirk and the Falconies. Jim.
Look, I'm trying to catch Heather. She's going to take Minnesota. I don't love Atlanta. I'll take 5.5 points. Give me ATL.
Yeah, I think this line's seems a little suspiciously high almost because the Falcons can score. I just think Kirk Cousins going back there and the fact that he's coming off that game, he is a guy that responds when he's down. I'm going to take the Falcons here, and I think they're going to win the game.
He's been down for 3 weeks. I mean, 6 interceptions in 3 weeks. No touchdown passes. No. I mean, against the Brian Flores defense.
Last week was rock bottom, though.
You would think.
Yes.
I mean, but, okay, so even if he's a little bit better, I don't think he beats the Vikings. And I know the line is weird at 5.5, but I'm going to take Heather's people.
You don't know rock bottom until they start climbing up. Heather. Right.
Well, I've been sticking with my people this entire season, and they always seem to find a way to win, right? But they're not winning by a lot. It's close games.
You're gonna,
so I am going to choose the Falcons.
Jim!
Look at you!
Bears at the 49ers. Niners favored by 3.5 points in a game of teams that used to be threats, no longer are. Let's start with Jim.
I don't like Heather very much right now. I'm going to take the Bears on the fired coach bounce. I'm going to get 3.5. And the Niners, talk about rock bottom. They're beat up. They're battered. A lot of injuries. Also, a lot of really devastating stuff off the field, too, for some of their players. I like Chicago in this spot. Give me the Bears.
I think this line's way low. I love the 49ers here. I think the burial of the 49ers is still a little premature because of the division that they're in. They can still save face here if they can rally. And you might want to pick up, what do you say, Pedro Guerrero or whatever their running back is now?
Isaac Guerrero.
Yes, exactly. Pick him up because he might win you a fantasy game on Monday night.
Yeah, maybe they'll get Juan Soto too.
You do keep saying that, Gov.
I'm not ready to dispose of the Niners. I don't see them as a threat. I think they could be a fringe playoff team. There's a lot of work that they got to do. But the one thing that I know is, yeah, there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of discussion about this just simply isn't their year. There's a lot of stuff going on off the field. But the one place where I always felt like I could put everything to the side and just be me was on the football field. And I think the Niners, they show up and they just find a way to be them and they beat the Bears.
Heather.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. I just feel like, you know, the Bears fired their coach.
They suck.
Yeah. They suck.
I think about halftime, Thomas Jones might decide to resign and go actually be the 49ers backup running back.
Great minds think alike. Jim.
Yes.
New coach bounce. Give me the Bears.
You and me.
Jim Harbaugh's Los Angeles Chargers travel to Arrowhead, take on the Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 3.5 points. Gov.
I think this is Jimmy H's little coming out party to the Chiefs in the division and that they're going to make it a little tight for them. I love the Chargers in this game. I think they're playing great football. I think they're a threat to at least win one game in the playoffs. I'm going L.A.
I'm going to go L.A. as well. And I just think that they're going to play a disciplined brand of football. They're going to slow it down. And just simply go to work. And the Chiefs have been playing with fire so much. Even if they win this game and they only win it by, you know, a field goal, Chargers still win. So I think they win outright, but I'm going to take the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Chiefs because I think they will win by more than 4 points.
I can't help it. I still love the dad coach, Chargers.
The khakis.
The khakis, Jim Harbaugh, they love running the football, and they've brought stability to Herbert. Problem is, Kansas City stuffs the run. And this isn't covering a touchdown or double digits. I think Mahomes and company get it done. Give me Kansas City.
Did you guys hear Harbaugh's comments yesterday?
No.
When he was asked about players being told that they are doing a good job and they're getting better and, you know, the noise that comes in from the outside. And he says, you know what we need to do to that? We just need to kick them in the shin. And he's referring to family, friends, anybody that says it to him. Just go kick him in the shin. And then he said it again. And it kind of reminds, is this Harbaugh's kind of kneecap thing?
Nobody sees it like Harbaugh like that.
He is.
No.
I thought of you when I heard this audio. When I was driving in this morning, I heard this.
Yeah, kick him in the shin. Step on their toe.
Bite their kneecap.
Those are the picks. It's 97-1.
Hey, tackle all the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if you simply win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. So when you get that hunch in the middle of the game, and you always do, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more, all on the same page where you're going to place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to join today, and you're going to get started with $150 in bonus bets. All you have to do is win that first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen to join. Never waste a hunch and make every single moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That run was way too easy. Big kick out, clear out blocks by the tight end, Sam Laporta on that one. It's a Lions victory Friday, and there's a lot to celebrate today. Lions win. Hello. That's 11 in a row. 12-1. Stay atop the NFC, atop the NFL, and they clinch a playoff spot. Something Dan Campbell wasn't even aware of until someone told him after the game.
That's not his focus. His focus all week has been on, how am I going to field a defense?
Yeah, which was another storyline. And something I think we could celebrate the fact that even though they lost to Lee McNeil in that game, John, they forced a turnover. They got a stop at the very end of the fourth quarter and held Green Bay to a field goal. The defense was not good, but it was good enough.
Oh, yeah. That's all they had to be. It was good enough. We said it was going to be a Jared Goff game. It was going to be an offensive game. They had to go out there and score points. And whether it was the offense, it was Dan Campbell's mentality of we're going to go for it on fourth and short every single time. All of those things, I think, were influenced by the number of injuries they had on defense. And everybody thought, hey, they're just going to simply just run the football. And they tried to. And they were, you know,
okay, reasonably successful.
At the goal line, they were successful at it, but they only rushed for 99 yards. I wouldn't call that a great success for Green Bay. I'd actually call that a great success for the Lions.
Again, their defense was beat up and battered, and then you lose Aleem McNeil in-game.
Oh.
You're going, I got to hold on for dear life. And I think Campbell coached accordingly. You might not like all the decisions. We'll open up the phone lines, 248-539-9797. He's going for it from his own 31. What is he thinking? He's going for it in the last minute of the game. A field goal gives him the lead. What is he thinking? 248-539-9797. I will call it reckless if I think it's reckless. I don't think those were reckless calls. I think those were calculated. Those were short yardage. Those were win-the-game calls. He factored in what he had on defense, and if they don't get those, they lose. They were necessary. They weren't reckless, John. They were necessary.
I think if you insert any other coach, you come out of that game going, boy, those were reckless. You don't say that about Dan Campbell because you've seen it before. He's been very consistent from day one when he showed up. And in year one, we saw some onside kicks in L.A. and we saw different things. Like, those were simply because he knew he had to steal possessions, had to find a way to try and steal points to stay in the game. Now he's doing it because, you know, it's just who he is. It's how he's going to coach. It's the mentality. It's the culture. It's everything that he has built here. And the players know it going into the game. They know it in the huddle. Hey, if we don't pick up this third and short, we're going for it on fourth and short. We just know we are.
And you can't have it both ways. Like, they don't win that game if they don't convert fourth and goal twice.
Yeah.
If you liked him going for it, short yardage, win the game calls, I don't know how you can then try to have it both ways and go, but I didn't like that he went for it late in the game. Again, similar. Short yardage, go win the game. But this wasn't fourth and seven in Dallas. This was a calculated, necessary call.
And I don't know that anybody, or I'm sure some people did, because there's still a lot of old school mentality where if it's fourth and short inside the 10-yard line, hey, you take the points. If it's fourth and short anywhere, you either take the points or you punt and live to play another down. But when this team is in those positions, as I'm watching it on TV, I'm not sitting there going, oh, I wonder if Dan's going to go for it. Like we hear the announcers do, because they don't see it every day. Yeah. Like, they don't live it like we do. And when they get fourth and goal from the one, there's no question. You know Dan's going to go for it.
248-539-9797. Open phone lines on a victory Friday. Lions fans, you can react to Dan Campbell's gambles. Of course, I'm sure people have a lot to say this morning on that. Helps when you win. But I wasn't going to kill them if they didn't get the call from their own 31. It's inches. You got this offensive line. You're playing to win.
Yeah.
End of the game. I think that's a little sweaty, right? We're talking, you kick a field goal, Green Bay would still have to drive down, but they didn't want to put Green Bay in a position where they could carve up this defense. Get the first, bleed the clock, game winner. You can't lose. You can only win if you get that first down.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and you could still win because then you take it to overtime and hope that your defense holds. They
exactly.
don't get in field goal range to kick a field goal, and you hope that you get the coin toss in overtime. But if you want to remove all doubt, you don't want to get down to, well, hopefully this guy misses a field goal or,
right.
you know, Kim, what are we going to, are we going to win the coin toss in overtime? I think that's the biggest thing. We've all seen, we saw Baker Mayfield's reaction against Patrick Mahomes, that he loses the coin toss, rolls his eyes, and he knew he had lost.
Yep.
Dan Campbell didn't want to get to a coin toss. He wanted, if we're going to lose this game, it's going to be because I made a ballsy decision.
It's going to be because we can't get inches.
Right.
And
then we don't deserve it.
Exactly.
With the best offensive line in football.
Then we don't deserve it. We're going to win with this offense in short yardage, for better or worse. We're going to do it in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, playoff games. It's who we are. And I think people should understand that by now. We'll get phone calls. We'll get to the incident before the game with Matt LaFleur and a Lions fan. And we'll get locker room audio. We love hearing from Dan after these games. It's 97.1.